Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread, and the only thing you'll think is delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises, just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Hey, everybody. I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious, and I know what you're thinking, because I'm thinking the same thing. Everybody asks me about Brian Hooker, and why isn't he arrested yet? Like, every time I encounter someone who either watches the show or knows what I do, that's what they ask. What's going on? Like, why is this so, feels so different than many of the other true crime stories that we cover? And I have the answer for you. I think you're going to like it. I know you don't like the fact that Brian Hooker's not arrested for the murder of his wife, Lynette Hooker. And I will say that because it's a murder investigation, not because he's charged with it. He's not. In fact, he's not charged with anything, but the murder investigation that's ongoing in the Bahamas, spearheaded by the United States Coast Guard Investigative Service, that is still at full throttle, my friends. So the reason that he's not charged yet is because the federal government does things differently. This is a federal crime that's being investigated, right? It happened overseas. It's being investigated by the Coast Guard. It's federal jurisdiction. It's not a state crime. Like, it didn't happen in Florida. It didn't happen in Illinois. It didn't happen in, you know, Sacramento. It didn't happen in California. It didn't happen in a state. So it's a federal crime. It happened overseas in someone else's country. So the first thing you got to figure out is, where is the jurisdiction going to be with this federal crime? Because you still have to go into a federal court in a state, right? So the feds do things very differently than state investigators and prosecutors. The feds front load all the work, right? They pedal like crazy under the surface for a long time until they gather like 90% of the evidence for a prosecution, for a successful prosecution. The state pedals for a while, like this, pedals, and they get somewhere around, you know, maybe 25, 35, 40% there. Then they arrest, and then they hopefully don't give bond to someone who they think is going to flee, and they hold that person behind bars while they gather the rest of the evidence. That's the state. The state will gather the rest of the evidence until trial. It's why we had things like Idaho. Brian Koberger is arrested, and there isn't even a trial planned for 2.5 years, right? Because they're still gathering the evidence at the state level. The feds will be ready to go, like, within a couple months, right? If they arrest somebody, they have so many of their ducks in a row, they're probably ready to go to trial in like a couple months. So if you're wondering, why isn't Brian Hooker, like, what the hell? It's been months. While you're frustrated, as I'm frustrated, I do have a little treat for you. And that is, we finally got the first image of Brian Hooker since he bounced himself out of the Bahamas and landed in the cozy confines of his mom's house in Sacramento. Feast your eyes. There he is. There's the guy who promised us all, I will never leave the Bahamas until I find my wife. It's going to take a higher power to get me out. Oh, no, no. It took an airplane the next day. And that's where he is, at mommy's. Yeah. So what we understand is that he smokes weed outside, you know, outside the house a couple times a day, walks the dogs. He does get on a plane every so often. He's been in Michigan, spotted by our spies, where he used to live and where his daughter lives. He's also been up in Oregon, where his brother lives, but he spends most of his time at his mommy's house. I wonder if he thinks he's free and clear. There he is, walking the dogs. Does he look like he's comfy? Any conscience there? He's not charged with anything yet. But Sacramento. First picture. This is where the higher order took him from the Bahamas. I'm going to go over a lot of this in a hot minute, and then I've got somebody who is going to explain to you in even a better way, because, you know, me, I don't do the best job at this, but I've got this former federal prosecutor who's going to tell you why and how, including the really key part of why the feds do what they do the way they do it. And that's the part you're going to really like. That's the part that's going to get you off the ledge. If you're pissed, if you're frustrated, if you're upset that Lynette Hooker's not getting justice, Nima Romani is coming up in a hot minute to tell you why. Hang on. You are wrong. And his day is coming, TikTok, motherfucker. Okay. So Nima's coming up in a hot minute, but I just want to go over a couple of things because I know it's been a lot of months and I know you haven't maybe caught every single episode. I encourage you to go back and look at them all because there's so much that Lindsay and I investigated along the way with your help. We had a tip line. We had lots of really good tips that came in, videos that came in, showing things at a certain time of night, showing us videos, showing us photographs that we actually turned over to the Coast Guard to help them in their investigation. You're welcome. So let's go back to the very beginning from whence all of this crap story sprang, okay? It was April 5th, Sunday. It was Easter. And Brian Hooker is flagging down this overnight security guard at a boatyard on Marsh Harbor in the Bahamas. And he's saying, help me, help me. I washed up on shore. And he said, my wife bounced off the back of the dinghy that I was on yesterday around 7:30 p.m. It was terrible weather. The waves were 2 to 4 feet high. The wind was blowing. She was driving. And she bounced off the back. And she took with her the dry bag with the extra key to the dinghy, and she had a hold of the lanyard with the key that was in the engine to this electric motor, and off she went. And there I was, in the dinghy, inoperable. I had no motor, and she's getting separated from me, and then I drifted for 9 hours, 4 miles, and landed here on your shore, and then walked through all this thicket to find you to get help. That was around 4 o'clock in the morning. Baloney. The whole thing, baloney. And I wonder why he told that story. Because, like, didn't he think somebody was going to check the weather from the night before? Or maybe somebody had a photograph or maybe a video of the water showing that it was dead calm. It was lovely. It was a lovely evening. Because we did. Yeah, we did. We got a picture of Soulmate, their sailboat where they were living aboard, right? They were on their way back to Soulmate, their yacht that was anchored at Aunt Pat's Bay from the Abaco Inn where they'd been having cocktails. And he had that story. But we saw Soulmate at that time. A photograph. Calm water. We also have video of another dinghy that's leaving just about a quarter mile away from there with the same water conditions and wind conditions. And they're calmly going out. It's literally like a reflecting pool. And they're calmly going out in their dinghy at the same time. So sorry, Brian. Baloney on the wind and the waves. Okay, and there's so much more baloney. But that's what he told the boatyard security guy. And the boatyard security guy calls the local police and they call the Hopetown Volunteer Fire and Rescue. And they take Brian Hooker onto the fire and rescue boat around somewhere around 7 in the morning or so. And they ask him to take them back to the place where it happened and point it all out so they can start their search for Lynette. Because she's probably floating somewhere, right? So off they go and they search. Like, point to where it is, Brian. The vicinity of where this happened. And he's like, So again, you ass. That was so dumb. You would know where you were when that happened. And one police officer and Brian Hooker got on board Soulmate and then went down below So they had to jigger with the air conditioning unit because it's my belief that that's where they had the spare key and that they had to open the latch, got the spare key, opened the latch, went down below. And the other members just waited on board the fire and rescue vessel while this police officer, Bahamian police officer, and Brian went down below for about an hour. That's important, y'all. They were down there for about an hour. And guess what I know from my sources? She was dead on that boat. She was dead on that boat. Entirely possible she was in that boat while that police officer was down there with Brian Hooker. We know she was dead on board that boat, and we know she was dead before 8 o'clock at night, the night before. So this whole float, no float, she didn't bounce off. She and Brian made it back to soulmate. 100%. And she was dead on soulmate. My sources say the evidence will prove that. So if you're the state, like if it was a state case, he'd be arrested like that. But again, it's a federal case. It's different.
At Ross, you'll find everything your kids need when they go back to school. From fashion to school supplies to dorm room decor, Ross has it all. Because it isn't just the first day of school for them, it's a new year, a new look, and endless possibilities. When they walk back through those school doors, they're a different kid than the one who walked out months ago, ready for anything. Back to school starts at Ross. Find your nearest Ross at rossstores.com. Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Did you know that over 70% of new parents are combo feeding? They're using both breast milk and formula to feed their baby. Whether you're exclusively formula feeding, combo feeding, or just want to back up in the pantry, Bobby is the formula that I trust to deliver safe, complete nutrition to my baby's bottle. Both of my children use Bobby. We loved it so much. Had the best experience with this brand. They're incredible. If you want to feed with confidence too, head to HiBobby.com. That is HiBobbie.com to find your baby's new favorite formula.
So let me keep going. He had said back on April 4th that they were out drinking. You know, I think they got there sometime after around, I think it was around 3 or 4 o'clock or so. And they'd had a couple of cocktails. The bartender said he served them some Cuba Libras, rum and cokes. And I think they'd had two each. And they were at the pool area. And he said that they left there at 7:30. We have a photograph of him walking down towards the dinghy from the bar and the pool behind him at about 7. So we're trying to figure out, well, that's a half hour earlier than you said you left. Were you going down to the dinghy to get something and you came back up and then eventually went down to the dinghy? And where was Lynette? She was not in that picture. So that's curious. Why was he walking down at 7? Did he leave earlier? Because that's what I think. I think he left earlier than 7:30. I think he was trying to push the story because he said it was getting dark. Baloney. Baloney. We went, Lindsay and me, right after this, and we timed it. And it was bright daylight at 7:30 and 7:45. And it wasn't really dark until 8. So maybe he was pushing his departure story a little later, like 7:30, but it only takes about 16 minutes in the horsepower dinghy that they had to get from the Abaco Inn out to their boat. So again, nice try. So on the way to the boat, it's less than a mile. And he says that Lynette's driving and her daughter says that that's rare. And he says the conditions are terrible, which again is then why was she driving? If the conditions were so bad, why was she driving? He says they must have hit a wave and she bounced out. But now think about this, please. As a boater, this is where I first got the inkling, like, this guy's full of it. She's got her hand on the tiller if she's sitting on the right gunwale, which is usually what you do in an inflatable. This was a rigid inflatable. Actually, it wasn't even inflatable. It just looks like an inflatable. And you would think her right hand would be holding her, you know, steady while her left hand's on the tiller driving. Like this. And you're going forward. And if you bounce out, well, off you go, right? Where is this action where she can grab her dry bag from down in the footwell and somehow grab the lanyard that hangs straight down? Because it's not the kind that you put around your wrist. It's not. It was just a straight string that hung down. How is she grabbing a lanyard with the key and grabbing her dry bag? And why would you be doing that when you're instantly bouncing out in a split second? So all of that was like, you're full of it. That did not happen. That is like impossible. But that's what he said. Right? So Spidey senses were up everywhere. And he said a couple different things to a couple different people. Last I saw her, she's swimming towards soulmate. Last I saw her, she's swimming towards shore. I didn't see her. I didn't hear her. I called out to her and I could hear her, but I couldn't hear what she was saying. So lots of differing accounts to differing people. Once again, red flag. The other thing is that Lynette was a really good swimmer. She used to swim like over a mile, I think, while she was growing up on a lake. And her parents and her family all said, super strong swimmer. So what? It was only like 1,000 yards to the boat and was only, I mean, not even that. It was like half that distance to land. And here's the best part. They're in the shallowest water, like just a couple feet. She might, if this story was true, which we know it wasn't true because she was dead on board. Soulmate, the evidence will show. She could have swam a little bit and then stood up because it's really shallow water there, like upwards of 2 feet, you know, like this was so dumb. This whole story was so dumb. So yet again, another really stupid decision for him to pick that as his story. Just didn't match the actual topography or the depths or anything else. So he then said as he was floating that he threw her a floaty, like a, they use them as a seat cushion. They're kind of like flutterboard floaties, like foam, and he threw it to her. Didn't know if she caught it. Meanwhile, there's two PDFs, life jackets, in the bottom of the boat. Didn't throw those. Maybe he said it was too windy to throw those. Well, it wasn't, because we saw the wind. Very windy on the other side of Elbow Key. Very windy. But this was the lee side of Elbow Key, where everybody drops anchor because it's so calm. So yet again, you didn't throw her a life jacket. And hey, how about this? You had an anchor in the boat. Wouldn't you throw the anchor out and go get her? You're a Marine, former Marine, who displays none of the characteristics of United States Marines. Okay, so again, all of the story, we already know it's bullshit, but it sounded like bullshit even before we knew it was bullshit. So he says he threw out the floaty thing and then, I only had one oar, I lost the other one and I couldn't paddle against the wind again. Marine, you wimp. So that wasn't true. And then he floated like about a half to three quarters of a mile to Lubbers. And that is the landmass between Elbow Key and Marsh Harbor. And he says he finally thought to throw out the anchor. Did you now? Oh, clever. And then says, I shot off two flares. Uh-huh. Did you? Really? So there was a flare gun in the bottom of the boat when he was found, and it was expended, but there's something hinky about that as well. And also, off that point, that northern point of Lubbers, it's also like 2 feet. So you didn't need to anchor. You actually could have got out and walked and pulled your boat into shore. Like, all of that. Through the anchor. And then you just pulled up anchor and kept on floating into the darkness? Oh. Stupid story. Not a very smart guy. Thinks he's very smart. Not very smart. So then he told the rescuers, right? Hopetown Volunteer Fire and Rescue. Last I saw her, she was wearing a black bathing suit, two-piece black bathing suit. That's all he said. Two-piece black bathing suit. Really, Brian? Is that all she was wearing? Just a two-piece black bathing suit? Because we have a picture of her at the Abaco Inn, sitting poolside with you, wearing a turquoise-colored bathing suit cover-up over that black bikini. And a Conch Republic royal blue headscarf. Did you forget about those things? Just, you know, a woman in her 50s just cruises around wearing a bikini with no cover-up? Oh, that's where you're wrong, brah. You just don't know women, obvi. So he gives a false report of what she was wearing, because she definitely had on that blue cover-up later into the afternoon when the wind is blowing, because we've got those pictures, right? So that raised the hackles of a lot of the guys in fire and rescue, and they started to wonder, this guy's story, none of it's matching up to weather conditions, wind conditions, descriptions. I don't know. It was all so confusing. Shallow water. Like, it was all very strange to them as well. But they were willing to suspend disbelief to get as much of the evidence and the story told as they could from this idiot. Something else he mentioned that was weird. He said inside the dry bag was the spare key to the dinghy and both of their passports. What? When you're a live aboard, that's your home, right? How many times do you just pack your two passports to go out to the bar or drinking all day? You don't. You have a safe location in your boat, usually a safe or something like that, because there are pirates, there are people who rob people on board boats, but they locked their boat, right? Because he was jigging with the, he had to get the spare key out of the air conditioner and then unlock it to go down with the police officer. Remember that little detail? So what about the passports? Really, Brian, once again, you think you're so smart. But we're all wondering, well, why'd you even bother with that story? Why would you even bother with the passport story? And I am wondering if the passport story was necessary because Lynette's passport may have been gone. And Brian would need an explanation for that. He would need to explain why his missing wife also had a missing passport and yet he had his. And why do I think that? It's just a theory. I don't know this to be true. It's a theory. On March 11th, Lynette had told her mom, I'm leaving him for good. And her mom said, get a ticket. And she did. She bought that ticket. And she did not fly. And the next day, she said, I'm working it out. I think he took her passport. And I think he got rid of it so she couldn't. I think he took her passport, he got rid of it so she could not fly on that March 11th ticket. But now he'd need to explain why. And this is a perfect cover, right? Dry bag's gone. Nobody ever found the dry bag or the missing or. I mean, come on. Those things are more flotation-based than my boobs. I mean, come on. You would find those things. Sea of Abaco is like a big, shallow swimming pool. Very, very clear and not that big. And you would find that dry bag and you would find that ore. Lots of things wash up on the shore. We've seen so many. Our friend Nathan from the Bahamas has done all these searches and you see everything that washes up on shore that falls off a yacht or a motorboat or whoever's, you know, cruising around Sea of Abaco. Nobody found that dry bag. Bright, bright green. And if you know dry bags, they float. They float. So curious. Dry bag missing, never to be found with two passports in it. Why, Brian? He better hope that dry bag never shows up, or Lynette's body for that matter, because if it does, then it's definitely not your story. But we already know that because Lynette was dead on board Soulmate before 8 p.m. The next thing Brian did was sit on his ass at the Conch Inn where he moved Soulmate back to. That was kind of their home base, their mooring ball. So he moved it back there and then sat on his ass while everybody else searched, but said to everybody, I need to rent a boat. I need, help me find a captain. I need to rent a boat to go help and search. And he never called them. The people who were recommended for him to call, he never called them. He didn't go out and search. He sat on his ass, according to witnesses, for the 3 days before he got arrested by the Bahamians, who threw him in lockup for 5 days. And then they released him because they said they couldn't gather enough evidence in that short period of time, which was the only legal window they could hold him before they had to charge him. They felt like they didn't have enough evidence to charge him, so they had to release him. And he came out, and the next morning he sat for 3 TV networks because he thinks that's where you get maximum coverage. Yeah, wouldn't sit with me. His lawyer, no. Mm-mm. She said, sorry, we're not available. Just the 3 TV networks. And he said, I am never leaving here without my wife. I'm never getting back on board that boat. It's going to take a higher power to get me out of the Bahamas. And the next day he was on an airplane because while he was doing those interviews, he was getting an emergency passport. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he flew out the next day. So, yeah. Never leaving the Bahamas without your wife? That took 24 hours. Less than. In fact, that lawyer of his, the local Bahamian lawyer, that's not his lawyer now, she cut the interview with CBS short. I guess they didn't like the questions, so they cut it short. And then, out he went. Like, boom, he couldn't get out of there fast enough, right?
At Ross, you'll find everything your kids need when they go back to school. From fashion to school supplies to dorm room decor, Ross has it all. Because it isn't just the first day of school for them, it's a new year, a new look, and endless possibilities. When they walk back through those school doors, they're a different kid than the one who walked out months ago, ready for anything. Back to school starts at Ross. Find your nearest Ross at rossstores.com. When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction, to facelifts, and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Did you know that over 70% of new parents are combo feeding? They're using both breast milk and formula to feed their baby. Whether you're exclusively formula feeding, combo feeding, or just want to back up in the pantry, Bobby is the formula that I trust to deliver safe, complete nutrition to my baby's bottle. Both of my children use Bobby. We loved it so much. Had the best experience with this brand. They're incredible. If you want to feed with confidence too, head to HiBobby.com. That is HiBobbie.com to find your baby's new favorite formula.
That whole story about I'm not leaving a Bahamas without my wife. Crocodile tears, all that. Once again, horseshit. But if he thought he was going to get a lot of reach by talking to 3 TV networks, bro, once again, yo, dumb. All the coverage has been in podcasts. I mean, sure, the networks have done some, but this podcast, for one, has been the leader in the coverage of what's happened with Brian Hooker since. And podcasts are where it's at, but I think he was just too afraid. Or ill-advised. I don't know. Whatever it was. One other thing we discovered, and again, thank you so much to our Drop Dead Serious community and the tip line. By the way, still open. DropDeadSeriousInfo@gmail.com. DropDeadSeriousInfo@gmail.com. One other thing we discovered was one of the last photos of Lynette alive, to our knowledge. It could be the last. I don't know. But she is standing on the far side of the pool, on the Atlantic Ocean side of the pool at the Abaco Inn. And she's taking a selfie. And Brian's way over on the far right, looking like he's scowling at the ocean. And I say that only because witnesses say he looked like he was scowling. The witnesses who took that picture noticed their bizarre behavior. She was apparently dancing by herself on the left-hand side of the pool while he was scowling at the ocean on the right-hand side of the pool. And she's taking this selfie. And what you can really see is this light wristband of an Apple Watch. And her daughter said that she wore the Apple Watch, but the battery was bad. So she would often take it off as soon as she got to the boat and put it on the charger sometime around dinner, like 7-ish. So fascinating, because the Bahamian authorities found an Apple Watch on board the boat. There's been some discrepancy that there may be two Apple Watches. She may have had a spare. It's very curious as to where the Apple Watch would be that was on her wrist in that last selfie. Was it the one that they seized, or was there a spare? Yet to be determined, but a fascinating moment of discussion within this whole disappearance. Which brings us all back to this moment where Brian Hooker feels comfy and cozy in the confines of his mommy's home in Sacramento, California, with his sister living not far away. The sister who flew to the Bahamas, like within 24 hours or so. There's some weird stories going on there too, I'm trying to figure out. I don't know what she was up to. Was she helping him get that emergency passport so he could get home while he's telling all those TV networks, I'll never leave without my wife, take a higher power to get me out of here, like an airplane engine. And there he is, hanging out in his tank top, walking the dogs, smoking weed, we're told. But I keep saying it, TikTok, motherfucker. Because charges will be coming soon, if you ask me. Is he charged now? No, he's not. He denies everything, right? She bounced out of the boat, wasn't me, I floated. But none of that makes sense, and none of it's true. Because she was dead on board Soulmate, so. He does have a new lawyer, former federal lawyer, right? So some former federal prosecutor's got some experience and knows what's coming. And so this is my guess. He's been spending his time at mommy's house preparing for the inevitable. Just my thought. But what about the inevitable? That's where I called Nima Rahmani, because this is a guy who understands the federal system. Nima went to Harvard. He's president of the West Coast Trial Lawyers, and he gets it when it comes to the whole federal system and why. It's front-loaded and it takes a long time. Hopefully, what he's about to tell you will make you feel a lot better about the frustration in this waiting game when it comes to Brian Hooker. I spoke with him a short time ago. Nima, it's great to have you on Drop Dead Serious. Thanks for coming on.
Of course, Ashley. So glad to be on. Great seeing you.
Let's talk about timelines, because I know whenever anybody asks me about the Brian Hooker, Lynette Hooker case, they wonder, what the heck? Why is it taking so long? Why hasn't there been an arrest? It seems like the evidence is so obvious. So get us off the ledge.
So the way federal prosecutors work is they typically handle proactive cases as opposed to reactive cases, and I'll explain the difference. So state prosecutors, someone's been arrested, the police prepare their report, the detective drops it on the DA's desk, and they're reacting to a crime that's already been committed and someone that's been arrested. Now, that certainly happened here, allegedly, of course, but federal prosecutors are used to usually handling proactive investigations. So they're sending undercovers into the mob, street gangs, drug cartels. And because of their OCD nature and the fact that they have far fewer files, they tend to not go to the grand jury and get an indictment until the case is bulletproof. Ashley, I'm talking I's dotted, T's crossed. So I know it's frustrating for people that are watching. They think that no news is really bad news, but that doesn't mean the investigation isn't going on behind the scenes. And when they drop the hammer, and they go get that indictment and arrest warrant, and they pick someone up, the case is locked and loaded. So I think that's what's happening here behind the scenes. Obviously, we don't know what we don't know, but that's my expectation and my experience handling these types of cases.
And I love that you say locked and loaded, because the way it's been explained to me before is that they could go to trial like in 2 months. Is that hyperbole?
Well, if the defense doesn't waive time, certainly the defendant has a right to a speedy trial. And it's rare. It happens once in a while. You got to be prepared. You have to have all your witnesses. Obviously, look, and we're going to go through the evidence. This is a circumstantial case. You want to make sure that you don't have any problems. Because if you're a prosecutor, especially a federal prosecutor, the U.S. Attorney's Office, Ashley, you're expected to win every case. Even a hung jury is lost. I never lost a case as a Fed because my agents were fantastic. But also, by the time we arrested someone, we were good to go. We could try the case the next day.
And so is it, I always waffle on the success rate, but is it 95% success rate when it's Fed?
Yeah, it's well over 95%. I mean, certainly, obviously, if you count guilty pleas, it's you know, 98-99%. But cases that actually go to trial, it is over 95% conviction rate in federal court.
So that's the thing that I'm hoping will get everybody off the ledge, is that be patient, wait for it, because it's worth the wait. And that's effectively, I assume, what most federal prosecutors feel.
Oh, no question. Look, the fact that you have a missing woman who was with her husband, really, it's a tale as old as time. Actually, we don't have to date ourselves. We've been doing this a long time. If anything happens to me, my wife is going to be the number one suspect, right? I mean, and of course, you know, all the misstatements, whether they're outright lies or innocent misrecollections, certainly don't help Brian either. But I think they're meticulously working up this case. And look, the fact that you have a case occurring in another country over a large body of water doesn't make it easy, right? Obviously, they're looking for the body that hasn't been found. But in terms of the evidence that you typically have, you're not going to have, right, the DNA, the ballistics, the independent witnesses, the surveillance video that you have in most murder cases. But that doesn't mean that the case won't be prosecuted eventually.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about the grand jury process. When you said they don't convene a grand jury and hand down an indictment until they're really ready, what's that process? Like, how long does that take? And is that something that we might know? For instance, if they convene a federal grand jury, let's say in Miami, why not? You know, Florida looks like a good jurisdiction for this case. Would we know that that's happening?
We won't. Grand juries are secret, so unless there's some sort of leak, we won't know. But you're right. Typically, these cruise murder, boat murder cases end up being prosecuted in Florida. That's the closest jurisdiction, and they have experience handling these types of cases. But a grand jury will sit, and they really have two functions. The first is an investigative function. So they could subpoena people, information, documents, evidence, witnesses to testify. The other is a charging function. So there's 23 grand jurors. To get an indictment, you just need a simple majority, 12 of those 23. It's a low standard, probable cause. And there's really two ways to go to a felony jury trial in this country. One of two things has to happen. You gotta get a grand jury indictment. That's what's done in the federal system in almost every instance. Or you gotta go to a preliminary hearing, which is a mini trial before the judge. That's used in many state courts, especially on the West Coast.
So are those federal juries convening all the time? For instance, if I sat outside the federal courthouse in Miami and I saw 23 lay people walking in, looking like mechanics and hairdressers and all the rest, it's coming, or is it kind of, it's a rotation, it's a revolving door, they're always sitting in all sorts of cases?
Yeah, they're always sitting, and typically they'll sit for usually at least a year to 18 months. So if you're a grand jury, you're probably gonna meet once a week in the federal courthouse, and you're gonna hear all sorts of cases. And the reason they say that the grand jury will indict a proverbial ham sandwich is it's just the prosecutor, the court reporter, and those grand jurors. There's no defendant, there's no defense attorney, and it's just the witness. So they're really hearing a one-sided account of the case. And I'm not saying that's improper in any way, but I never failed to get a grand jury indictment, and I knew those grand jurors. Usually I'd get a grand jury indictment within minutes. So you present your case, you step outside, you check your phone. By the time you look at a couple emails and text messages, they come out, they give you that true bill, which is the indictment signed by the foreperson.
And again, their, you know, barometer is probable cause, not beyond reasonable doubt or shadow of a doubt. It's just, I think something might happen here.
Yeah, probable cause, not even more likely than not, not even preponderance of the evidence, 51%. It is a really low standard. So whether it's a prelim or a grand jury, you're going to get an indictment. If you can't get a grand jury indictment, you have serious problems with your case.
Wow. So yeah, that's the ham sandwich factor. It doesn't mean you're going to win your case, though. So when there's a true bill, when does the public get to find out about it? Do they have to announce that this is a public process? We pay these people's bills, and we don't have secret justice in this country, per se. So when would we find out?
We'd find out as soon as the person is arrested. So the way it works is, and by the way, no bills, you can count on one or two hands in the entire country in any given year, the number of times the grand jury doesn't return an indictment. So when the grand jury returns an indictment, the clerk at the U.S. Attorney's Office will go the court, and they'll issue an arrest warrant. Now, those documents are sealed because we don't want people to take off, destroy evidence, obstruct justice, tamper with witnesses. So those documents are sealed, the charging document and the arrest warrant. Any type of warrant, by the way, search warrant as well. Once the arrest warrant is executed, which means someone is arrested, those documents are unsealed and they become part of the public record.
How much time usually between a true bill and an arrest?
Usually pretty quick. If agents can pick someone up, usually it's a matter of a day or two. Now, sometimes you need significant law enforcement presence if you think someone might be armed and dangerous, or sometimes you'll see people are indicted, they've absconded, they're out of the country. Those indictments will remain sealed for years. But someone like Brian, I think it's going to be easy to find him. And I think that he will be arrested if he's in the United States. I don't think he's going back to the Bahamas, but if he was, he could be arrested there and extradited to the U.S.
Well, we found him. He's at his mommy's house in Sacramento, and our spies have been watching him for months. And so he's, you know, there's been a lot of fear, though, Nima, that this guy, you know, loves to have his toes in the sand, was perfectly happy with the minimalist life of being a live aboard. And again, if you're living on board a sailboat that's 40 some odd feet, you are living in a very minimal life. And that this guy would be more than happy to abscond to a country where, you know, we don't have an extradition treaty with. So do you think in the interim that the federal investigators would be watching like wall to wall? They would watch all the time?
Well, look, someone like this, if he's a target of your investigation, you're absolutely going to want to watch him. And frankly, if he tries to abscond, that's great, because that's evidence of guilt. Every courtroom in this country has a jury instruction saying that. And again, he's not under indictment yet, but fleeing. And if he flees with, you know, cash, fake IDs, passports, those types of things, that's great, because guilty people, they don't flee the country. So absolutely, you want to watch someone like this if you think he's your murder suspect, and you're going to have an eye on him, and you're going to have alerts at airports, at the border, to pick him up if he does try to leave.
Yeah, I can imagine there's alerts everywhere. It's just if he walks over a border, because that he would be capable of doing too. He'd get on a boat and paddle it or float for 9 hours to get to a safer shore somewhere else. I could see that happening. And I just wondered how worried the feds would be that he would jump before an indictment came down and an arrest. So about that evidence of, you know, guilt, every defense attorney worth his or her weight in salt will say, just because someone runs doesn't mean they're guilty. Maybe they're just afraid of a wrongful prosecution. But how much does that land, how well does that usually land with jurors?
Yeah, I don't think that resonates. Again, this is my bias as a former prosecutor. But innocent people don't flee. Innocent people don't change their appearance. Innocent people don't have fake passports and stacks of cash and want to live on their own in a foreign country that is not their country. They're leaving their friends, their family, they're leaving everyone behind. So they can make the argument. I don't think it really hits with the jurors, but certainly an argument that they have to make in these types of cases.
At Ross, you'll find everything your kids need when they go back to school. From fashion to school supplies to dorm room decor, Ross has it all. Because it isn't just the first day of school for them, it's a new year, a new look, and endless possibilities. When they walk back through those school doors, they're a different kid than the one who walked out months ago, ready for anything. Back to school starts at Ross. Find your nearest Ross at rossstores.com.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Did you know that over 70% of new parents are combo feeding? They're using both breast milk and formula to feed their baby. Whether you're exclusively formula feeding, combo feeding, or just want to back up in the pantry, Bobby is the formula that I trust to deliver safe, complete nutrition to my baby's bottle. Both of my children used Bobby. We loved it so much. Had the best experience with this brand. They're incredible. If you want to feed with confidence too, head to HiBobby.com. That is Hi, HiBobbie.com to find your baby's new favorite formula.
Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about the process of getting witnesses in this case, because this is a Bahamas, you know, crime. And I say crime because my sources say there's evidence of Lynette being dead on board Soulmate. And that just throws the whole thing into full-on crime. There was no bouncing off the back of the boat. There was no accidentally, you know, I was rudderless and floating to Marsh Harbor for 9 hours. None of that happened because they made it back to the boat from the Abaco Inn, and she was dead on board the boat. So I think the whole thing is just, you know, going to be open and shut. I always say that. I said that about OJ. But like with evidence like that, you need the witnesses, you need people to come into court, you need, you know, because you said it's a circumstantial case. How do you compel witnesses from a different country?
Yeah, it's difficult. They don't have to comply with the subpoena when it's another country. That's just the bottom line. Now, obviously, you want to do everything you can. So for instance, I was on the southern border, right? And we'd have witnesses in Mexico, and we'd do everything we could short of paying them, because you want to pay for the testimony. Then they just get destroyed on cross-examination. People had no status. We'd parole them into the United States. That means that they can come into the United States for the purposes of testifying. But absolutely, when you're talking about foreign witnesses, there is no legal process where we can make them come unless they happen to be here and we keep them here as a material witness. That's one way to kind of keep someone in custody or bond them out. But it's not easy, Ashley, when you're dealing with witnesses overseas.
Wait, I wonder if I just misunderstood what you said. If they're already here, you can keep them here? Like,
you can
how?
Keep them here as a material witness. Yeah. So there's
behind bars?
Well, they get bonded out every time. So I would never keep my material witnesses in custody.
Yeah.
For example, this would happen all the time. We would prosecute human trafficking cases, and we would generally prosecute the coyotes, the traffickers that were bringing people in, not the people that were being trafficked. But obviously, I would need them to stay here, so we would pick them up on a material witness warrant. Most judges, almost all judges, would bond them out, but the hope would be that they would stay here through the pendency of the case and testify against our trafficker. So that happens.
So now you get witnesses from another country. How could the defense attorney attack them? Like what kind of strategy could they use when you're talking about, you know, these are witnesses from somewhere else, they have different sensibilities, these are not our peers. What would they say about those witnesses?
Yeah, I mean, they would argue, like, why is this person coming to the United States to testify in this case? What motivation do they have? For instance, are they being paid? Are the flights paid for? The hotel paid for?
They'll say that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll say, like, you know, why are you here? Why'd you come to the United States? How long are you here? Who paid for your flight? Who's paying for your hotel? How are you getting to and from court, right? You want to show that they have some sort of bias or reason to testify in favor of the government.
So, the defense attorney is allowed to say that about federal prosecutors who bought the ticket and the hotel for that foreign witness to come to testify. They're allowed to say that.
Absolutely. That goes to their bias. It goes to the reason why they might be credible. It's fodder for cross-examination now. You know, do with it what you may, but no question. I mean, these cases are difficult. You need to rely on those witnesses, and you need to bring those witnesses to the United States, because you can't testify via Zoom. Under the Confrontation Clause, every criminal defendant has the right to cross-examine his accuser face-to-face. So those witnesses have to come to court here in the United States and testify in person.
So Nima, Lindsay, the producer of this podcast, and I got on a plane and we went to the Bahamas right away, just as soon as this had all happened. And we retraced the steps. We got a boat and a captain. We went everywhere and quickly realized what horseshit, you know, was being shoveled at us from Brian Hooker and his story. But I really, it's very hard to sort of get it all and understand it all unless you're literally floating in the spot where he said it happened, looking off to your right and seeing where Soulmate was actually anchored, looking to the shore, looking how shallow it is, looking at the route all the way to the Abaco Inn, looking how far it is to Marsh Harbor and where Lubber's Landing was and all the rest. But you can't take a federal jury overseas on a go-see, can you?
No, I mean, I love those field trips as a prosecutor. There's no world where everyone's going to be flying to Nassau and floating around in the Bahamas. That make an amazing case. There's certainly far worse cases, far worse places, excuse me.
Yeah, guaranteed jury duty, you know. Exactly.
Everyone's going to be raising their hand for that trial. But no, it's just not practical. It's not realistic, even though I love the site visits. But yeah, like you said, I think those lies are going to be what ultimately doom Hooker, because people that are innocent, especially as far as where Lynette fell into the ocean, if she was on the boat, Soulmate sailboat, and he is telling law enforcement and he's doing his interview saying that she never made it, she bounced off that dinghy, that for me is really fatal to any defense in the case, because he lied about where and how she fell into the water. So I love the case for the prosecution. Look, I think the defense, they really need to attack the electronic evidence that puts Brian on the boat, puts Lynette on the boat. I think that is the big deal. And again, the reporting has been that his story is inconsistent with those electronic devices. So I don't know if he's going to say if the device was on the boat, but he wasn't. But I think that's going to be the key evidence that's going to be really problematic unless he can get an expert or somehow impeach that electronic evidence, because that seems to be the basis for law enforcement to believe that he's lying.
Seems, yes. Well, so some of the electronic evidence is even outside the boat. It has him going, like, you know, the wind is blowing one direction. I mean, rarely does the wind blow in a zigzag, right? But he said, I blew all the way to Marsh Harbor, and yet there's a sharp left turn down the coast of Lubbers, and then another sharp right turn back towards, Marsh Harbor. So the electronic evidence really does show a full bullshit pattern. It wasn't wind. There was probably propulsion, and there was probably a key that he eventually got rid of, allegedly.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, though, Nima, there's more than just electronic evidence.
Well, that's even better. Obviously, look, from the electronic evidence, I'll address that. He's saying that, you know, he lost the key, or Lynette lost the key when she fell in, right? There's no motor. He had to sort of drift and paddle. He kept paddling. Obviously, if his electronic devices show a completely different pattern, one that is consistent with the motor, I mean, I think he's done for. So.
Yeah, I believe he's done for. I mean, it's just a matter of now the when. And this is why Nima, people keep coming to me to say, for God's sake, it's been since April, 4th? That was the day that they went, April 4th, they went for a drink at 7:30 at night. They were supposed to have left the Abaco Inn, and then over into April 5th, Easter morning, she vanishes. And here we are, I'm recording this on August 13th. I actually thought there'd be arrest before now, but I do have sources that say it's soon. What does soon mean in federal speak?
Soon probably means weeks, not necessarily days. I agree with you, Ashley. If there's two cases that I'm thinking about right now that really have gone unsolved and are really head scratchers, say Hooker's one, and I think Guthrie is too. I mean, those are the ones that everyone's just really, we don't understand why an arrest hasn't been made. At least we have a suspect or a potential suspect in the Hooker case. Guthrie, I just really don't understand.
I mean, Guthrie is a whole other, it's a whole other series of podcasts and you know, Netflix series, just to the head scratcher on that. I still feel like we're going to get some movement there sometime. I just hope that maybe if Chris Nanos moves out of the way, maybe there'll be other leadership that will cede more to the FBI. It seems to me that there was just a lot of lost opportunities early, but I digress.
Yeah. So-
At Ross, you'll find everything your kids need when they go back to school, from fashion to school supplies to dorm room decor. Ross has it all.
Because it isn't just the first day of school for them, it's a new year, a new look, and endless possibilities. When they walk back through those school doors, they're a different kid than the one who walked out months ago, ready for anything. Back to school starts at Ross. Find your nearest Ross at rossstores.com.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Did you know that over 70% of new parents are combo feeding? They're using both breast milk and formula to feed their baby. Whether you're exclusively formula feeding, combo feeding, or just want to back up in the pantry, Bobby is the formula that I trust to deliver safe, complete nutrition to my baby's bottle. Both of my children used Bobby. We loved it so much. Had the best experience with this brand. They're incredible. The customer service, what they stand for, Bobby's organic European-style formulas are crafted with clinically backed ingredients and designed for easy digestion, just like breast milk. I did a lot of research before formula feeding, and I loved what I saw from Bobby. Every single batch goes through 2,000-plus safety and quality checks before leaving their owned U.S. manufacturing facility. If you want to feed with confidence, too, head to HiBobby.com. That is high. HiBobbie.com to find your baby's new favorite formula.
So if there's an arrest in the next few weeks, which I feel that there might be, what happens next?
So what happens next is there's an arraignment on the indictment. He has a lawyer right now. I don't know if he's going to keep the lawyer for the federal murder case.
A former U.S. attorney, I understand. Like, that would be smart.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing is they set a motion hearing trial setting. So obviously what the defense always wants to do is to suppress any evidence. They'll be provided the discovery. They'll make their motions, their Fourth Amendment, their Fifth Amendment motions to knock any evidence out.
Fourth Amendment search and seizure, Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. But before you go there, when did they get, like, let's just say the indictment is handed down, the arrest happens. When does he get the discovery of everything they have? Or does he get dribs and drabs? Like, what's that process in the federal system?
So they're supposed to get it at the arraignment. Now, that doesn't always happen, and the defense gets upset. They file their discovery motions. They allege prosecutorial misconduct. But they're really supposed to get it right away. Now,
everything? The whole kit and caboodle?
Well, whatever is required under federal law. So under the rules of criminal procedure, obviously, there's certain categories, obviously Brady material, anything exculpatory, any impeachment under Giglio, Jang's prior statements of witnesses. There are these very specific categories of information that have to be provided by the prosecution immediately upon arrest. So that is done. Now, realistically, especially some electronic evidence, is it turned over in court on a hard drive or a thumb drive at the arraignment? No, those arrangements have to be made. But the discovery, it's a one-sided obligation in criminal court, unlike civil cases where the discovery is reciprocal. The prosecution provides discovery, the defense does not.
Look at you throwing out Giglia and all the rest. It's why you passed the bar and why I never, ever possibly could if I tried. I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on this podcast. So, okay, they get the big mountain of all the gigabytes of data. Who sets the timeline? Does the defense, again, Brian's not charged with anything. This is all hypothetical. So does the defense say, oh my God, we had 12 gigabytes, I need a year? And yes. Does the judge grant that? Or yes. does the prosecution say, look, we gave it and it's all sorted and it's beautiful and it's perfect, you don't need a year?
Yeah, it's really the defense. It's their right to a speedy trial. And 9 times out of 10, they said, we need more time. This is a serious case, this is a murder case. The judge will almost always kick it out. And this is why. If they don't, they jam the defense up and they force them to go to trial, then you're creating an unnecessary appellate issue. They say, we're not ready. We need more time. This is a serious case. Judges will routinely kick these trial dates out. So if he's arrested today, there's no world where he's going to be tried in 2026. We're probably looking at late 2027, realistically, in terms of a timeline for a case. Might even push out all the way to 2028.
But not because of the prosecution.
No.
Only because of the defense, because they're ready to go.
Yeah, because the defense needs more time. That's just the way it works.
And Nima, honestly, in the age of digital evidence, we normally hear about giga and terabytes of evidence all the time. Is this something that is now becoming a bit of a crisis, that the length of time that a defendant needs to go over just the mountains and mountains of discovery that now come over digitally?
I mean, it is, but this is why law enforcement has the advantage. I grew up in the 80s. There were serial killers all the time. People could commit multiple murders because there was no such cell phone evidence, right? Cell phone tracks everything, right? Your search history, where you are. Now, law enforcement has the advantage. Again, this case is a little bit unique because of where it happened. So that evidence, it's great, and it can really implicate and convict people based on that electronic evidence alone, but you're right.
But it can take hella long, right?
It's a lot. You got to go through the surveillance. You got to go through the cell site. You got to go through all the text messages. Imagine how much people use their cell phones, right?
Okay. I'm going to ask you, as you're part of the, the president of the West Coast Trial Lawyers, how can we petition for cameras in federal court? Because it makes me crazy that once this goes into a courtroom, these viewers will not be able to look him square in the face.
Ashley, I 100% agree with you. It's really up to the Chief Justice John Roberts of the Supreme Court. He has to change the federal rules of criminal procedure. Look, we have open and fair trials in this country.
Yeah.
And to rely on those courtroom sketch artists or overflow rooms, it makes absolutely no sense. So I'm 100% on board and I agree with you completely.
Okay, let's start a movement, because I'm real tired of these dumb sketches. Not to dismiss the artists. They do what they can. They do the best they can. But it is not... It doesn't serve the community, and it makes it this circumstance ripe for conspiracy theorists and just all of it. I just think that people should be a part of the process. It's always better when people learn.
I agree. It makes our criminal justice system accessible, understandable. We absolutely should have cameras in every courtroom in this country.
Nima Rahmani, you're the greatest. Thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ashley. Love being on. Hope to be on again real soon. Thanks again.
Guaranteed. My great thanks to Nima Rahmani. Actually, it's so good to talk to a former federal prosecutor about this, because this is the number one complaint I get about the Lynette Hooker case. And so I hope that got you off the ledge. It's just that when those feds go forward, they have nailed it. And it's like 95-ish% success rate. So hopefully that will make you feel better about the length of time it's taken, and it is taking. But I am told by my sources, it is coming soon. Thank you so much for being here, everybody. I appreciate you. If you haven't already subscribed, please do so. It's a huge solid for us. Also, join our membership. We've been having some really good Ask Me Anything moments, and we're going to have another one in the next couple weeks as well. Thanks again. And don't forget, everybody, the truth isn't just serious. It's drop dead serious.
Your vehicle doesn't just get you from here to there. It's a bridge to the people and places that matter most. It's how you show up for your family, your community, and everyone else that depends on you. That's why for 125 years, Firestone has been building tires with one thing in mind: to deliver products that are as reliable as you are. Firestone, always dependable.
since 1900.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
You know what quality feels like. You can see it in the way a fabric moves. Recognize it in a flawless fit and appreciate it in the details that make our styles unique. That kind of quality doesn't happen by accident. It happens with imagination, creativity, and intention. At Coldwater Creek, it's the design standard we've honored for over 40 years. Our rich mountain heritage has shaped how we think about clothing from the very beginning, with a commitment to quality that never quits. Exceptional fabrics, considered design, silhouettes we've made our own. The signature touches that set each piece apart and styles that are distinctively Coldwater Creek. For a wardrobe you can count on season after season, visit coldwatercreek.com. Shop new arrivals and save 15% on purchases $75 or more with code IHEART.